Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Last week, the realization and embracing the reality of Easter, that Easter message, and how do we live that out in our lives? His death, his resurrection provides us a means to be reconciled with God, who has plans and purposes for each of us. For ourselves, I say this generation, your generation, the next generation, we want to do our best to rebuild a solid spiritual future for them. Well, here in Canada, there's potential for another rebuild that's in the works. Pastor Marie prayed in her prayer time about our election tomorrow, April 28th. Here in Canada, it's our National Election Day. Eligible voters, there's lots of you in the House, online. You will vote for those persons that you want to represent you. And ultimately, we will vote for a new Prime Minister of Canada. Needless to say, each of the candidates, and especially those running for the office of Prime Minister, they're looking for your vote, and they've shared their plans on how they would see how to rebuild if they are elected. The primary issues, you've probably listened to them, but they all seem to relate to money and finances, whether that's housing, jobs, taxes, tariffs, trade partner relationships, provincial lines, national lines. It all seems to come down to the economy. Everybody talks about money in politics. At work, you're talking about money. And even at home, the financial issues seem to come up. And yet, when it comes to this group, the church body, when we focus on money, we go, well, that's all the church. Well, folks, that really is not. We talk a whole lot more about a whole lot of other things that are going on in our lives. But finances are and should be part of the spiritual matters that we are talking about. God's economy is the best. You see, if we follow godly principles as outlined in Scripture, things would run more smooth. The next generation would be able to see, learn, and live out those same principles that will allow the kingdom of God to advance. Well, this morning, we return to the Sunday morning preaching series in Nehemiah on rebuilding the next generation. And after a fantastic Easter season, an amazing service at the arena, our focus today is rebuilding through giving. There is to be no neglect. We're in the chapter 10 of the book of Nehemiah. I'm looking at the last portion of that chapter. And at this point, I'm only going to highlight the last verse in this chapter 10. It's verse 39. And it states, "We promise together not to neglect the temple of our God." We promise together not to neglect the temple of our God. Well, what are the people promising to in this declaration to not neglect the temple? Well, if I can just take a moment to just go back and review where we've been just before Easter. Under Nehemiah's leadership, the people have returned from captivity to Jerusalem to rebuild the city walls. They've reconnected with God's word. They've repented of their sin and their rebellion. They've recognized their disobedience to God's commands, his desires, his guidelines. In essence, they have neglected the temple and the laws that God had put in place. Pastor Reed challenged us a few weeks ago about those that are missing in action. Well, after the people were confronted with their sin, the people responded with a promise in writing. We find that in Nehemiah chapter 9. And then later on in chapter 10, the earlier part of chapter 10 that Pastor Marie referred to, the document that they put in writing was sealed with the names of the leaders and the people. It says, joined in and promised to follow all of the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord. I get this an amazing experience. The people all joined again. They said, yes, let's go. We're going to do this. They're signing up. They see the result of their labor and how God has provided for them. I trust that you know that God provides, that God still provides. Do you believe that this morning, that God provides for yourself? Amen. He has blessed immensely. He's taken care of you in the midst of all that is going on. He still cares. He continues to work, even when we, you and I, do not see it clearly. Listen to Psalm 145, and it says, "The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious. The Lord helps the fallen. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. He grants their desires. He hears their cries for help. He rescues. The Lord protects." Folks, all of what's declared there, we want. We want God's involvement in our lives. All that he has provided to us. And yet, what is our response? Is it possible that our response was similar to the nation that we're reading about today? The people, in their response to God's provision, to his blessing, was not right, was not correct. And here, in verse 32 of chapter 10, we see the people taking steps and saying, we're going to make this right, and we're not going to neglect the temple. Chapter 10, verse 32, it says, "In addition, we promise to." I want you to catch that phrase, "In addition, we promise." I get the feeling that they understood what was going on. They understand how our human mind works. They were not going to walk away from this moment without reinforcing their word to ensure that what was being rebuilt physically and spiritually would remain solid and would not crumble. There's an expression, and I use it respectfully, but I also believe appropriately. The people were willing to put their money where their mouth is. Put your money where your mouth is. To put their resources into what they were promising. If you're like me, money and finances show where my heart, where my true desires are. And that's what we're going to be referring to today. How we give, how we respond to God. Listen to these words recorded in Nehemiah chapter 10. I'll read verse 32 starting. It says, "In addition, we promise to obey the command to pay the annual temple tax of 1/8 of an ounce of silver for the care of the temple of our God. This will provide for the bread of the presence, for the regular grain offerings and burnt offerings, for the offerings of the Sabbath, the new moon celebrations, the annual festivals, the holy offerings, for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel. It will provide everything necessary for the work of the temple of our God. We have cast sacred lots to determine when, at regular times each year, the families of the priests, the Levites, and the common people should bring wood to God's temple to be burned on the altar of our God, as it is written in the law." It continues, "We promise to bring the first part of every harvest to the Lord's temple year after year." The next verse, "We agree to give God our oldest sons and the firstborn of all of our herds and flocks as prescribed in the law. We will present them to the priests who minister in the temple of our God. We will store the produce in the storerooms of the temple of our God. We will bring the best of our flour and other grain offerings, the best of our fruits, the best of our new wine and olive oil. And we promise to bring to the Levites the tenth of everything our land produces. For it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all of our rural lands and towns. A priest, a descendant of Aaron, will be with the Levites as they receive these tithes. And a tenth of all that is collected as tithes will be delivered by the Levites to the temple of our God and placed in the storerooms. The people and the Levites must bring these offerings of grain, new wine, and olive oil to the storerooms and place them in the sacred containers near the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the singers." And it concludes again with, "We promise together not to neglect the temple of our God." May God bless the reading of His word today. Were any of these guidelines new to these people? No. We read it several times there. It's written in the law. But these were the areas that the people had neglected. The people had become focused on areas that were not as important. They became focused on someone else, something else other than God and His principles. Well, could sound familiar, right? We all get focused on many different things, and sometimes God is not the most priority. We get busy doing other things. Well, here, in Nehemiah's day, it was this group that were making the promises. Whatever had gone on in the past, the good and the not so good, it wasn't as significant as what was taking place right here, right now. This group had repented and were now committing to the rebuild, and we're now going to follow God's guidelines. Folks, I believe PPC is a fantastic church. Hey, when we moved to this facility 25 years ago, it was amazing to see how all of this came together. At the previous location down on White's Road on Iyer Drive, the auditorium could probably fit over in this area, probably just back here, but one-third of this auditorium, our sanctuary at 567 Iyer would fit right there. Things were going well, but more needed to be done. And when the opportunity came to consider a move, people stepped up with their finances, their resources, and we saw the miracle of 1920 Bailey Street happen. Amen? Friends, yes, we give God thanks. There's a whole story behind how God planned things out, and the lead pastor's vision at that time, knowing that this was the place that PPC should be. Well, folks, we're not left out of God's plan. Right now, it's our turn. It's our turn now. Here at PPC, things are going well, but we believe God has more amazing things in store, not just for this generation right here. We've heard it so many times in the past couple of months. We're rebuilding the next generation. We want our generation, but we want the next generation and the generation after that to know and hear about God. The Hub is going to be an exciting endeavor that we have an opportunity to play a part in and to give of our finances, and that will be an amazing way that we will see the impact of ministry, the impact on lives for eternity. If we're going to give our children, our grandkids, or those that do not know Christ the opportunity to learn and encounter God and live out His plans for them, it will require giving. And we cannot neglect that area of our spiritual lives. In Bible times and in 2025, money, finances, economy are significant. Total devotion to God will require His people to give. In looking at the promises that we've read about in Nehemiah, allow me to give a couple of suggestions that I think are helpful when it comes to giving. To rebuild through giving, we need to give first to God's work. And that means to have an attitude that recognizes that God has provided, and that you are going to prioritize God first, that I am going to honor God's work, that kingdom work in my life and in the communities around me. I just go back to our text in chapter 9 and just to highlight what the people were promising to do. They were promising to pay the annual temple tax. That was to care for the daily operations and the activities of the temple, the regular ministry of the church. And I will say that an ounce of silver in today's currency is about $40. So 1/8 of that is about $5. We can all do a part. Not just pay the temple tax, but they were to bring wood to the temple on a regular basis. This allowed for the continuous fire to facilitate the constant flow of daily sacrifices that were made on the altar, that were made to by the people. Again, this is connected to the ongoing ministry of the church. They were to bring the first part, the first fruits. This meant that they were to bring their very first and their very best of their harvest. I trust that we are giving to God first and out of our best and not out of our leftovers. They agreed to give their eldest son and firstborn. And this simply meant that they were to dedicate their firstborn son to God, bringing their children to God. Hey, folks, we do this here at PPC. Parents bring their children to be dedicated to God and ask His blessing on them. And as we as parents follow godly principles in raising our kids to know God. They agreed to give the firstborn animals. The animal was taken to the temple for sacrifice. They were to bring a tithe, a tenth. The people committed themselves to support the religious workers through a tithe, which just meant one-tenth of their produce or income per year. This amount went towards those who ministered out in the local towns and communities and continued that process. These workers were then to pay a tenth of what they received to the temple. In each of these areas, the people were promising. They're in essence rededicating themselves to follow God's guidelines. Proverbs 3, verse 9 reinforces this principle for us today. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crop. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. What does the Lord say? Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough to store it. Folks, we are to give the best, the first fruits. We do that with our resources, our finances, with our family, our time, our skills, our labor, out of thankfulness to God for what He has done for us. He gave us life. He's forgiven our sins. He has provided all for us. We give to God first. Secondly, if we are to rebuild through giving, we need to give fiscally to God's work. Now, here's what I mean by that. The phrase fiscal may not sound the most spiritual phrase, but here's what I mean by that. We are to give regularly. Fiscal refers to a specific period. Most times it's a 12-month period, or it's a season that is identified. There's another version of our text that says, we assume responsibility to pay. The people were promising to give in a structured manner. Now, let's remember that this wasn't man's plans. This process was put in place by God. It was His guidelines for the offerings, the festivals, the sacrifices, the altar, the work of the temple, and how to support the ministry of the temple. Today, I trust that we are supporting the kingdom with the same mindset, but obviously in different manners. Pastor Marie, during her giving, showed you a slide that came up, and it showed you the different ways and venues that we can give here at PPC. And I trust that in-house and online, you are giving through those methods today. We are to give with purpose, with thought, with consistency, to plan well. PPC has budget processes. In this day, fiscal responsibility is crucial. And we are called to steward finances. To steward infers that the resources is not this guy's here. It's not my resources. It's not your resources. God has provided to me, to yourself. And we are to use and disperse those finances and those resources in a wise manner. We are not the owners. We are to carry out that responsibility. Pastor, he mentioned the word for today. The last 2 days, talk about finances. Go back to April the 26th and see that. It talks about executors of will and how it's not theirs, but they are to carry out the responsibilities. Hey, folks, in our text, it used these words. It said annual, regular times each year, year after year. Very practical manners in how they were to give. Now, in the New Testament, we see a giving emphasized also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Paul states, he says, on the first day of the week,
Each one of you should put aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made.
There was an obvious process that was set out, and the early church believers were encouraged to put aside, to set aside a sum of money at a specific time, the first day of the week. So I say, let's give with that fiscal mindset, with purpose to God's kingdom. Thirdly, if we're to rebuild through giving, we need to give faithfully to God's work, to the kingdom of God. Today's message is on giving, and while being faithful certainly includes finances, as believers, we are to give faithfully in all areas of our lives. Amen? The book of Nehemiah has challenged us in every aspect of our lives. We are to live faithfully for God. We are to give faithfully to God's work. There is to be no neglect. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. God's desire is to provide the best for us. And as believers, we choose to serve him. And may I say that as we choose to serve him, it's not limited by these four walls right here. The kingdom of God extends way beyond 1920 Bailey Street. The kingdom of God is everywhere. You see, in Nehemiah, what the nation saw as the temple of God is different for us today. We know, and we were reminded in the Easter season, that when we accept Jesus Christ in our lives, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. As believers, I am, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So where we go, the Spirit of the God is there. That's encouraging, and I believe also challenging, that wherever we go, we are displaying God's glory wherever we are. In preparation for today, I heard a phrase that said, we don't go to church, we are the church. And I believe there's certainly a powerful difference there. Wherever we go, we are showing God's glory. It's not contained in a physical temple anymore, but it's in us. And we share that with the world around us. Giving faithfully isn't limited to what you do here at PPC or to those online, whatever church body you support. You need to be faithful wherever you are. Now, I've said that phrase in verse 39 several times this morning. We promise together not to neglect the temple of our God. But there's a word there that we cannot miss and that carries weight. And that word says, together. Together. The people were standing together. PPC, we've heard many messages on unity and harmony. And I don't have the time to go back and review all that, other than to say, unity, togetherness, is crucial in how our walk with God is and how we relate and connect and how the kingdom of God gets advanced. Psalm 133 reminds us that where there's harmony and unity, what happens? The Lord pronounces a blessing. The temple, kingdom work, a church, doesn't function well without unity. The people stood with Nehemiah. They worked, they repented, they prayed, and now they're promising together not to neglect the temple. And that included giving. Kingdom work is not about one person or one group. It is all together. Giving is not just for one person. Giving is not for, I look around and go, oh, that person, they're okay. They can give. They're well off. They can afford to give. It's not about the others. It is about each of us embracing that principle. If every one of us embraced the principle of giving, of tithing, of giving first fruits,
The kingdom of God will be able to better reach so many others and reach the lost for Jesus Christ. PPC, I thank you on behalf of leadership for your faithfulness. You have and are giving. But as we look to the future, I believe with everyone on the same page, we can raise that bar individually and corporately. We can do more if we all embrace that principle of giving faithfully. I know that giving would increase and PPC would be able to do more. Now, as I say that, I know that there are many factors when it comes to finances in your family situations and where you are in your God journey and how you respond in giving. And I know that some of you may not have the freedom to respond because of other pressures that are there. What I do know is that when things are important to me, I tend to find a way to make the dollars work. And if I can just respectfully go to the analogy of the shoes, I'm trying to find my one pair of shoes. I think they are over here. Yes, these are the Under Armour ones over there. That's my one pair. Well, maybe I got two pairs of sneakers. Now, why I say that? I have some other footwear. I enjoy sports. I have a pair of skates that I have spent, my skates probably cost $900. Now, I will have them for probably 10 years. So why do I say that? What's important to us and what we value? We find a way of putting our funds and resources to that. So the footwear may be different, but we choose and we find ways to respond. And I respectfully say that when it comes to the kingdom of God, we can find ways in God's blessing on how we can respond there. The good news is that PPC has facilitated great ministry. We have supported many global workers around the world in sharing the gospel. We get to celebrate and see people come to Christ at the arena. We see children, youth, and adults grow spiritually. And I will say that there was a host of volunteers that made the arena last Easter Sunday work so well and amazing. So we thank you. Later on, we'll see a video clip that just shows all the excitement of what went on there at the arena. Folks, we want to provide a future where people can encounter God, whether it's in this building or when you have contact with others. As you and I give in every aspect of our lives, together we are rebuilding the next generation. We give first, we give fiscally, and we give faithfully. Amen. I recognize that today's message was directed more towards those who are already in relationship with God. That being said, if you would like to know more about being a follower of Jesus Christ, about asking Christ into your life, wanting to know more about spiritual things, I will say that that is the most important decision you make, is to place your faith in Jesus Christ and ask Him in your life. In-house, our prayer partners will be here following the service if that's your desire and you want to know more about following Jesus Christ. Online, if you leave a note in one of the chat boxes there and saying, I want to know about Jesus, I want to know about church, I want to know about how God can work in my life, if you leave a note there, our host and then one of our leaders will follow up and get back to you. That's the best decision that you can make, is to ask Christ into your life. As I close today, I share this verse with you. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Folks, as we give faithfully, God will bless, and together we will help rebuild the next generation. In a moment, the worship team are going to lead us in a song, Christ is Enough, but it has the phrase in there and the words that I have decided to follow Jesus. Those are words of declaration, of a promise. Are you willing to promise today? Are you willing to make a similar promise that the nation in Nehemiah made? We will promise together not to neglect the temple of our God. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads with me just for a moment. Before the message time, we sang this song, Give Me Jesus. And the truth of that is, Christ is enough. But to receive the full potential of having Jesus in our lives and receiving God's blessing is to make spiritual decisions and choices. So I ask you three questions that are connected with what we shared this morning from the book of Nehemiah. Have you decided? Have you decided to follow God faithfully? Are you giving to God first? Is He priority? Are you giving to God fiscally, meaning on a consistent basis? And are you giving your life to God faithfully in every area? Allow me to pray with you at this time. God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, way back in Bible times when it was written, people responded out of what you had done in their lives, how you had blessed them, but also how you worked in their lives, in their recognition of where they were and of their resources, and how you blessed and how you cared and how you loved and how you forgave, they responded. So that's the same thing we're asking today. If we recognize and accept that you gave your son Jesus for each one of us, your love is immense for us. And God, I believe that you have blessed us when it comes to resources and financially. And Lord, how do we respond out of that? And God, we want to do that well. So Lord, I don't know where these people are at, but I know that you speak into our lives. And Lord, whether it's we need to start giving, we need to give more, or there's lots of people who have been faithful. And God, we thank you for all of those that give faithfully to your kingdom work. But God, we want more from yourself. We want your blessing. We want to know what you have for us down the road. We believe you have great things. So God, help us to promise today that we will not neglect the temple, your kingdom work. We will not neglect that. And as we move forward, we will decide to follow you wholeheartedly and faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.